The first reading today is from Hebrews 11, 1 through 3. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commanded for. The faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus. Amen. There was a pastor who decided to visit Sunday school classrooms one Sunday, kind of get up on what's going on, what they were learning, what they were studying in the classrooms, how much they knew. And reflecting on the history of Israel, he asked in one of the Bible classes, he just threw out the question, "Who broke down the walls of Jericho?" To which one little boy, a little bit nervous, responded, "Not me, sir. I didn't have anything to do with it." The pastor asked the Sunday school teacher, "Is this the kind of response I can expect from questions asked in your Sunday school class?" To which the teacher said, "Well, pastor, this child comes from an honest family. If he says he didn't do it, I believe him." To which he thought, "This is not good," and he went to the board of elders and he told them the whole story, and the elders replied, one of them said, "Well, I've known the boy and his family for a long time and the teacher too, and if they said they have nothing to do with it, I'm pretty confident in this." Well, that story can go on then to the idea of the church council learning, and they find out, they said, "Pastor, it's not a problem. It's really not as big a deal as you're making it. We can get a fundraiser up and put those walls back together if we need to." They're fed the wrong things, they knew the wrong things, they weren't feasting on the right word, they didn't have the right answers for the questions that came about. From our text, it's clear that we have something that's rather unique regarding the testimony that we make of our faith. It says, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. And then by faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command so that what was not seen was made. Or what was seen was made out of what was not visible. And that's faith, to understand, to accept something that we don't have the physical properties necessarily in all the ways we want it, though we may not see everything manifesting itself the way we would like to. We have a faith that holds on to what we trust as God's word. Science itself is a faith. If you are involved in the sciences and you believe that things went a certain direction to get us to where they are now, with apart from God, then that is a faith of a sort as well, because there are lots of holes and spaces and gaps in there and parts of the areas that can't explain. And most of science by now has actually abandoned at least the Big Bang idea, where dust particles become everything we have in the long run, because how can it begat more and more and more when it starts off as something so small? But most have gotten away from that, but still there's a faith in what they want to hold on to. And if you don't want to hold on to the Christian faith, well, there are other things that are available, other aspects of the world that you can lean on, or other beliefs. Shirley MacLaine was one who believed she was God. Her faith kind of was the idea, she is God, and there is God within all of you. You are all your own God. And so exercise that. To which I'd say, if you believe that you're your own God, what kind of God-like things have you done lately? Yeah. Just show me some. Tell me something. What kind of God-like things have you been a part of? There are actually those who call themselves Christian that follow the idea that you come from other planets to here, and then someday you'll go back to another planet and your own planet if you have a strong enough faith. And I'll leave that to you to figure out which group I'm talking about. They are not Christian, though they call themselves Christian, certainly. There are those that believe that we came from apes or lungfish and developed to what we are now from an amoeba that started in some amino acids gathering in ammonia, and it's amazing how we got to where we are. That's a pretty big faith, trust me. That's a huge faith, a lot bigger than the idea of God making us out of nothing. Because at least there we have, if you will, the idea of miracles and things beyond the realm of science that we lean on. And we say we don't need an answer for it. We just accept it as it is. There's a scientist that challenged God, the idea of that. said, you know, people don't need God because we can create life on our own. We can make our own worlds. We can make things that out of where there isn't something already now. And God's challenge back to him, all right, show me how you can create life. And he reaches down and he takes some of the dirt that's on the ground. And the Lord says, hold on, wait a minute. First, you have to make your own dirt. We do have a faith. It's a faith worth feeding. It's a faith worth nurturing. It's a faith worth holding on to. It is a faith because we believe that we were created out of nothing in the long run, and God brought us to where we are. We have the stories of the scriptures. There's a lot of history out there in the world that gives credence to everything of our faith as well. A lot of archaeological finds that show more and more the tie-ins to the Christian understanding way back when. But still, it's a faith. It's a faith that has proven itself, at least in some of our lives. And I've known people that were deathly ill that came out of that. I've known people that had cancer that do not have cancer today, and it was not because of treatments, because they hadn't gotten the treatments yet. Miracle situations for folks. People delivered from situations that shouldn't have happened. And you may want to say, well, coincidences or Irish luck, whatever it might be in some cases. But I prefer to say that as it was prayed about and as it was seen that we were lifting up in prayer and belief in God, that God was doing what God does. And that's a faith. A faith that's sure of a hope and certain of something, though it's not seen. There are different kinds of Christians, though, when it comes to Christian education, and some demand different things out of their faith. And when it comes to Christian education as well, maybe it's not so much to increase their faith, but to get another notch in their belt. Look at all the things that I've read, all the things that I've studied, chink, 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 all the notches down here. Look how good a Christian I am because of all that I've been a part of. We encounter that with confirmation for some. After eighth grade confirmation, there are folks that don't believe they need to be in Bible study, Sunday school, or in some cases even go to church anymore, and so they're gone. And they remain with an eighth grade understanding of the Lord for the rest of their days. Not growing in that faith, not maturing in that faith, not living out that faith. We need to know God's Word. And we need to be filled with God's Word. And if we're going to be filled with God's Word, we're going to have the knowledge that comes from beyond ourselves through His Scriptures. We get that in Bible study, we get that in worship, we get that in sermons, we get that in hymnody and contemporary music, where the songs are from the Psalms and the words of God and are there. We get that in Bible classes, we get that in home devotions. But we have to have that Word of God with us in our hearts. We have to learn that Word if we're going to grow in that faith, if we're going to nurture it and be prepared. Some people approach their Christian education as kind of like with a conquest attitude, if you will. Look at all I've done. I've taken all these Bible classes. I've earned so many degrees. And because of that, they see themselves on a different level. They don't grieve like other people. They don't worry like others. They don't this, that, or the other. And instead of actually relying on their faith, they're relying on what they have learned. It pulls away from that Christian faith again. Now, I'm not against Christian education. I love Christian education. Matter of fact, I took mine all the way up to a Master's of Divinity to become a pastor. So, very fond of Christian education. I do it still all the time. But it's not a notch in the belt. It's an opportunity to continue to grow. And I still grow and mature and learn in my faith. I went through 8 years of study to become a pastor. Actually, for me, it was a little bit more because I didn't take the first years of college very seriously. My son's not in here. I can share that with you now. I kind of left college a couple times because I didn't know what I wanted to do. When I find out, I'll tell you. But no, 7 years of undergraduate school, because I got out of it a couple times and decided I was working too many jobs to go through the school. So that didn't work out until I really decided what I wanted to do, and I felt this call from the Lord, then I got in. Now, the problem is that to become a pastor in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, you have to do 4 more years to get your master's. Any other master's program is 2 years. I got robbed. 4 years to become a pastor. And you get this MDiv. Now, if you're not going out yet, Master's of Divinity, you can stick around for 1 more year and get an STM, a Sacred Theology Master's. We called it the STM, the Scared to Minister. They weren't ready to go out yet, so they were going to hide away a little bit longer, right? I knew some professional students. One of them in particular, he was not a seminary student. He was back in my UTA days. I graduated from UTA. Back in my days, he was a professional student. I may have dropped out a couple times. It took me 7 years to get my undergrad, but he had been in school actively for 14 plus years. He had 7 languages that he could speak. He was always my go-to guy when I had questions about the languages I was studying. He had 7 degrees. But he was also a person that he had been tucked away in school for so long, and he was on such a high academic level that unless you were a professor or really wanted to have a relationship with this person, it wasn't going to happen. Because he was not going to search you out, and he couldn't function in the normal realm and having a casual conversation. He just couldn't get to that level because he was over here and isolated so much in his life. I don't know what ever became of him. I have no idea where he is or what's going on with him since those days. But he was so locked up in learning that he forgot what the learning was for. It's to make it applicable in your life and in the world and to benefit yourself and this world in some way. There are some people that do that with their faith too. They continue on this faith journey and they think they're going to grow and grow and grow and grow this faith, that they lock themselves up away. Monasteries, nunneries, hermits. And at that point, it doesn't matter how much of the word you're taking in, you're not using that word, filtering it through you and putting it to application in the world. You're not benefiting the world and you're not growing in your faith. You may be growing in knowledge, but you're certainly not growing in any wisdom whatsoever. We have to take this faith out into the world. We have this faith. We have to feed it. We have to nurture it so that we can then use it. It has to go out from us. There are some people that don't want to force this faith on their children. I was forced to go to Sunday school. I was forced to go to church, so I'm not going to go anymore, some people say. As if the Lord had anything to do with that, or you're holding a grudge against the church or against God for those things, which is just ridiculous. Or parents that say, I'm going to let my children wait till they're old enough and decide for themselves if they want to have this faith and follow Christ. To which I question, well, do you give your children the option of whether they go to bed at night or not? How about eating vegetables? Do you give them the option not to eat vegetables ever? Cream spinach? I was made to eat spinach a few times, not too much, because Mom didn't like it, so we were saved. She didn't eat it. Yeah. Do you give your child the option not to go to school? You don't have to learn math. Don't worry about it. When you get old enough, you'll decide if you want to learn math or not. How's that going to work out, huh? Why would we leave the most critical thing that they need in their life out and let them make a decision on that, which could basically lead to a decision of choosing hell instead of choosing God? We don't want to leave that to a choice. We want to bring them up, to nurture, to feed them this faith so that they can grow in it. I remember the story of the grandmother that's sitting on the front porch rocking in her chair reading her Bible every single night, and the granddaughter that came up to her and asked, Grandma, why is it you're reading your Bible every night? By now you know all these stories. You've read it so many times. And she says, well, as she's sitting there rocking, I'm cramming for the finals. The idea, we're getting closer to heaven all the time, right? We need to stay in this path. We need to continue to feed this faith if we're going to be able to face what is to come. And there are struggles ahead. There will be more pain and persecution and problems in this world and in our lives. And we have to feed the faith now to be able to be strong when those times come about. The best example that I can give you of that in a parable form, not really, but in the world's issue, is an article that I remember from a National Geographic, and this is a ton of years ago, but it stuck with me, on the Alaskan bull moose. The Alaskan bull moose in fall, it's the moose that has the largest set of antlers, horns, that is going to be the victor, that's going to breed and make the growth in this next stock of moose, which, yeah. I found out mooses and meese are all the plural forms of moose. They're all good. You can use any one of those. So,
don't want to be caught off guard there anymore. So they make the moose. But what happens in the fall is they get in these grand battles, and it's going to be the one that has the largest set of horns, the largest antlers, that's the strongest, that's going to be the victor, that's going to win and produce the greatest, the strongest next generation. But to get that part, to get to where they are in the spring, they have to be well fed, and they have to graze on the good food, they have to take in a lot of food, they have to have their diet just the right way to be able to get over here to fight the fall. So basically, the fight that is fought in the fall is actually won in the spring. Because if you didn't feed on what you needed here to grow strong and become the biggest, you've already set yourself up to lose. And that's the way it is in the Christian faith. We don't know when Satan's going to attack. We do know that he is going to. He does. So how will we face it when the time comes? Will we be ready? The way to be ready is to eat now. Feed on the word now, to be prepared for what may come, what will come when it comes. To say that this is a faith worth feeding. This is a spiritual battle we know that we're going to face, and Satan is going to come after us. We need to be successful when the time comes, and so we need to be in the word and of the word today, living this word out in our lives. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. What we do not see is what's around the corner, what's in tomorrow, what the future holds. So the only way to be prepared is to be strong now. Feasting on the diet of God's word, being in Bible study, being in Sunday school, being in worship, singing his praises, being in home devotions, living that word. You can either have a faith that is worth feeding, or you can have the world. And in the end, we know which one will win and which will lose. What's your choice?